All right. Good to see everyone this evening. You should have in front of you a handout that I just passed out. If you didn't get one, raise your hand. I've got a couple left. All right. Sounds like everybody got one. And it sounds like I need to silence my cell phone. I just spent a whole month telling everybody, silence your cell phones. And it's not my month to give announcements, so I forgot. So for the benefit of those that might be listening to the recording later on, I'll just reiterate that Caleb, our preacher and who normally teaches the class tonight, is sick. So I'm filling in to some extent. I have a talk, I guess, prepared on a song that we sing called Be Thou My Vision, which is number 318 in our songbook. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about that. I don't claim to be an expert on the song, or an expert on anything, really. But so if you have any questions as we go along, feel free to raise your hand and I'll probably say I don't know. But also if you have any thoughts on the words of this song as we discuss it and anything you'd like to add, I'll be happy to entertain those. Just go ahead and raise your hand and we'll discuss it. I don't think I have enough material to go through our whole class unless I just keep rambling on like this for a while. So, you know, any input that you have is welcome. I'd first like to sing the song that's in our book, number 318, Be Thou My Vision. Try to get this microphone far away from me, far enough away from me that I'm not dominating the recording. But it would be very uninteresting to be listening to a recording and all of a sudden there's silence. So I want to keep the mic on. All right, so number 318, Be Thou My Vision. Oh no, that's wrong. I forgot. This is a minor key. All right, number 318. Be thou my vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou
song with a really lovely sentiment. And as it turns out, it's 2020. So Be Thou My Vision is a perfect song for the new year. And that's how I came to think about this song, is that Gail mentioned that this would be a perfect song as a theme for the new year. And it really is. Be Thou My Vision. Now this, you know, normally when I do these kinds of things, I like to talk about the history and the author and what inspired them to write the song. But this song is too old for that. This song is really ancient. I mean, some people say it dates back to the 6th century. It's an Irish song. And the tune is Irish as well. Many scholars believe that the 6th century is too early. It's really more like the 8th century, maybe even the 10th or 11th. But it's a very, very old song. So we don't really know exactly who wrote it or why they wrote it. But it is a great song. Now, on your handout, I have two versions of the same song. On the page mark number one is an English translation by Mary Byrne. It's an English translation because obviously it was written in Irish, which we don't speak. It's very different from English. This translation I provide just for your information. We're not going to really talk too much about it. But this is more of a verse-by-verse translation of the original song. And if you go on Wikipedia, you can see the original Irish song and try to pronounce the words and get your tongue all tied. But there's some very lovely sentiments in the original song, most of which carry through to the English, the alternative translation, which is on the back of the page. This is pretty much the song that we have in our songbook, this version by Eleanor Hull from 1912. The only difference between this, the only major difference between this and what's in our songbook is that there is a verse missing. Verse 3 on the page in front of you is not in our songbook. And then you see that there's a note at the bottom. The English Methodist version from 1964 omits verse 3. And apparently the compilers of our songbook must have been taking that version when they put that song in our book. I am not happy about that. Once I found that there was a verse 3, I was like, wow, that's a really important verse, and I wish they had put that in there. But for some reason, the English Methodist decided that was not important to include. So the tune is called Slain. You'll see that noted in our songbooks at the bottom of the page, 318. The tune is called Slain. That's just where that tune is thought to originate from, in Ireland, a place called Slain, Ireland. Gail's shaking her head. What are you thinking? Oh, Slaney, or I'm not Irish. I'm proud English, so I don't speak Irish. No, actually, well, anyway. We won't get into my background. Okay, so this song is categorized as a lorica song, and that's Latin, which I also don't speak. But that is a Latin word meaning armor or breastplate. So this is a petition for protection, more or less. And, you know, obviously this is a prayer to God for lots of things, protection being one of those things. So what I'd like to do is just kind of go verse by verse. I'm going to go through the 5 verses that are on the page and discuss those and kind of make sure we all have a good sense of what the meaning is, what the author was asking for, what we're singing about when we sing this song. What are we asking God for when we sing? Because remember, when we sing these songs, we're not thinking about what the author wanted. We're not thinking about how nice the tune is or how pretty the words are. We're thinking about what are we asking God for? As we sing this song, and what are we exhorting one another to ask God for? So, without further ado, we'll go into verse 1. And this verse is a prayer. I said it's a prayer for focus, a prayer for focus on God. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not but all else to me, save that thou art. So, the desire is for God to provide a vision, to actually be our vision as we move through life. So our focus is on Him, and He is actually the Lord of our heart being our innermost being. So even that part of us that most of the world kind of sees as theirs, they claim sovereignty over that part, that inner part of themselves, and say, I control that. That is mine. I get to do with what I want, my innermost thoughts and feelings. No. The writer of this song says, He, God, is the Lord of my heart, my innermost being. He is sovereign over even that part of me, not just my actions and my words, but even my own thoughts and feelings, every part of me, my most private part. The only truth that matters, not be all else to me, save that thou art. The only truth that matters is that God exists. God is real. He is there, and we acknowledge that. And we want our best thought, thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. We want our thoughts, no other thoughts, to come in and cloud our vision, the vision that God has given us. And we want God's light to guide our way day and night. Now, I'd like to look at a verse or two that kind of goes along with this. Maybe it's the inspiration for this thought, maybe it's not, but it came to my mind anyway. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 22 and 23, especially the part about thy presence, my light, kind of made me think of this, where Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness. So Jesus tells us that it's all about our vision. It's all about what we see, how our eye is working, and what we're allowing to be our vision. If that is healthy, if the light of God is guiding us and directing us, if our vision is God, then we are healthy, and our whole being will be full of light. So it is important that God is our vision. All right, any thoughts on verse 1? Any other passages come to mind as we discuss this? Yes. Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. And we'll come back to Matthew 6 in a little bit. Anything else? Yes, Wayne. Yes. Yes, definitely. All right. I'm going to turn the mic off just for a second and shout at Gail. Okay, we're back. All right. So, So anything else on verse 1? Did I see another hand up? No? All right. So, verse 2. Now, I said that this was a prayer for a relationship with God. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. And that's the key to this verse. The oneness of myself with God, to be like a son to a father and he a father to a son, to have his wisdom, his word guiding me, and to just have that close relationship with God, and to have him guide us. The relationship is deeper even than the father and son image here, because he goes into, he says, thou in me dwelling. Well, fathers and sons are close, but they're not that close. We want an even closer relationship with God than a father and a son. Thou in me dwelling and I with thee, one. That is the deep influence of God over our lives, that we are one with Him and that His wisdom guides everything that we do. And I thought about John 17 and the prayer of Jesus. John 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And that's what the author of our song says. Thou, my true word. God is the true word that guides him. If you look a little bit farther, Jesus goes on in verse 20 to pray, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Boy, this kind of goes right with the feeling of the author here. Thy my great Father, I thy true Son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Both sides of that relationship are shown there. And it's that, you know, Jesus hits the nail on the head. And I hadn't thought of this before, but he says, and of course, Jesus always hits the nail on the head, but he says, where was it? I read it, and then now I can't find it. Oh, I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one. That's that relationship I was getting at. It's more than just an earthly father and son. It is the relationship of the Father and the Son. And that's what the author says. Thou, my great Father, I, thy true Son. That's what we strive to be. And that's what we're praying for when we sing this song. Any other thoughts on this verse? Yes, Lane. And so we should be, yes. Yes. All right. All right. Yes. Right. Exactly. Yes. And even right here where Jesus is talking, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And then he continues to talk about their oneness in that word. Okay, very good. Thank you. All right, so if there's nothing further, we'll move on to verse 3. We're going to talk about verse 3 on the page here that's omitted from our songbook. Be thou my battle shield, sword for the fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my delight. Thou my soul's shelter, thou my high tower, raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. So we have some imagery here of some military imagery and some imagery of power and strength. Now, one of the reasons why I really think that they should have left this verse in, especially when you think about the original writing and the time that it was written. This is Ireland. This is, first millennia, Ireland. I guess they call it Middle Ireland. I don't know. But anyway, it's a time of clan warfare. It's a time of great strife in Ireland. And so this kind of language would have resonated with people at that time. What? I'm sorry? Yes? Yes, yes. And they would have been very familiar with sword play and needing a shield for protection, needing high towers to be able to see the enemy coming, for protection, needing shelter from the enemy, right? And so this would have been very, very strong imagery for them. And so it's kind of regrettable that it was left out, of our songbook as well as others. But, maybe. Yeah. Exactly. So it's still important for us. It's still a very, very important verse for us. Maybe it doesn't resonate as much with us, but it's still, and while perhaps the author is thinking of physical protection from God, that's not all he's thinking about. If you look at what it says, the last line of the verse is, "Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power." He's looking for God to give him not political power, not physical strength and influence over the earth, but he's looking to be raised heavenward. He's looking for God to bring him up above all of this and to give him the protection that he needs, not necessarily from his physical enemy, but from his spiritual enemy. Now, let's see. I've gone all over the place, so I don't remember what's in my notes here. sorry about that. But I appreciate all the thoughts. So our desire is for God to equip us to fight life's battles. God will protect our dignity and be our delight. He'll protect our reputation in the world. He'll help us to look out for the enemy by providing that high tower for us. Our focus has to be heavenward. So instead of seeking to gain preeminence through our clan, having preeminence on this earth and ruling over, more and more of our territory, our preeminence should be a spiritual one. We have preeminence over Satan and over his power. And so we wish for God's power, the true power, to bring us closer to heaven. I thought about Ephesians chapter 6 as I was looking at this. Ephesians chapter 6, starting verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." And then he enumerates the different aspects of God's armor following this. So Paul is exhorting us to put on that armor because there is an onslaught of evil, and we need that protection of God. We need God to be our shield and our sword. And if we prepare, as Paul tells us, we will stand, he says. Yes, Keith. Then the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It all comes back. Comes back to that word, to that vision. And we want God to be our vision. All right, anything else on verse 3? All right, moving right along. We're using the class time wisely here. all right, verse 4. "Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art." And so this is a prayer for provision from God. We're looking to God to provide for us, but we're not looking to God to provide for us riches. We're not looking to God to provide for us a praise from men, a high standing in society. We're looking for God to be our inheritance. So man has their own definition of success. God has his definition of success, and that has to be our definition. And that definition is that we inherit God. We inherit salvation. And God is first in our heart. He says, thou and thou only, first in my heart. God is the treasure and the only treasure that we seek. Now, this phrase, high king of heaven, that phrase, of course, there we're acknowledging, we've already talked about how he is Lord of our hearts, but now we're acknowledging that he is Lord of everything. He has absolute sovereignty. He is the high king of heaven. That word high king might also be translated chieftain. So if you think about the Irish clans, they would have a chieftain who would be over the entire clan. He would have absolute sovereignty over that clan. Well, that's the word that's used here. God is chieftain over heaven. In the original language, if you look at the other side, you'll see even in the second line of the first stanza, it talks about the king of the seven heavens. So you'll see that. You'll see high king also, but it talks about king of the seven heavens at least a couple of times in here. The idea there, a lot of the what they call Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, even Islam, will have this idea of a seven levels of heaven. And we kind of see that if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. See that alluded to. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul talks about a guy that went to heaven, and we think it's probably him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm sorry, chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. So we have this idea of a third heaven here, which would kind of play into this idea of seven heavens. Whether we understand that or not, the idea is that seven heavens is all the heavens there are. And so God is the king of those seven heavens. So God has absolute authority over heaven and earth. And so he is the high king of heaven, and he is our treasure. This great God is ours. He is our inheritance and our treasure. How can we need anything else? Is the idea. And then I thought about going back to Matthew chapter 6. Beginning in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Remember, the Lord is sovereign. The Lord is the Lord of our heart. We read this part. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And so the author of our song says, thou and thou only, first in my heart. We can only serve one. And God has to be the one. He has to be the inheritance that we seek. All right, any thoughts on verse 4? Yes, Wayne. Right. Right. Yeah. Well, so let's see. What did you say? Proverbs 30? Let's see. Oh, I see. Okay. All right. All right. Very good. Yeah. And so we're not seeking riches or poverty. What we're seeking is God. And whether, if God gives us riches, we still seek God. If God gives us poverty, we still seek God. And actually we see that in the last verse, here. The last verse. So we've gone through all the four verses. These are all four different prayers for different things. They all kind of go together, but there are four different prayers. And so if we have faith that God will answer those prayers, then we are assured of a victory. And this is what this last verse is about, a prayer for victory. High King of Heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. And so we get back to the theme of the song. That's a 5-minute warning, so I'm gonna get the whole class in. Wow. thank you for your patience. So we have faith that God will answer all of these prayers, and so we are asking God to complete that victory by bringing us to heaven. And when we get to heaven, we will have heaven's joys. We will have the bright heaven sun. What is bright heaven sun? What is that referring to? Christ, okay? God, yes, he is the light. So God, Christ, God is the light, right? He is heaven's sun. So we will be able to enjoy all of these things when our victory is complete. God, the ruler of all, gives us all that we need to be victorious if he is our vision. And if we put our trust in him, if we make him Lord of our heart, if we regard him as the high king of heaven, he will provide all of these things for us. I was thinking of Revelation chapter 22. The first 5 verses. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. That is a depiction of the victory that we have waiting for us if God is our vision. Did you have your hand up? Okay. All right. And so that is verse 5. Any other thoughts on verse 5? Yes, Wayne. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. All right. Oh, okay. Okay. Right. Yeah. Right. Now, there's so many different, there's so many aspects to God. It's hard to think that we could ever describe them all, but we try. We try. All right. Any other comments or questions? I appreciate your attention tonight. It's an excellent, excellent song. It doesn't leave anything really out. Such a good thing for us. This would be a good prayer for us. It's a good, I don't know. I just really like this song. I think it has a great message for us, and it is a great thing to think about as we start a new year. You know, let's try to make God our vision even more than He was last year. Let's try to have our vision be what God wants us to see, what God would have us to do and to focus on. All right. Can we sing this song one more time? I would like to sing all five verses, if you don't mind. And then Keith will lead us in some more songs.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Be thou my battle shield, sword for the fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my delight. Thou my soul shelter, thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory.